Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Swan Song Stories. This is episode number 4. Big ups to our man JP for putting the show together in 30 seconds after drop frames. Nice work. I am, of course, joined by the usual band of misfits. How's everybody doing?
Good.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I saw you in my stream this morning, Jeff. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, if you play Warhammer, like I'm summoned like a spirit, basically.
So. Right. If you look in a mirror and say Warhammer three times, yeah. Jeff appears behind you. Yeah. That's cool. What are you been up to, Jeff?
Still stuck on the Darkest Dungeon. Been really enjoying it. Just funny because it just felt like it's a game that I think you could beat pretty quick, or you can do what I'm doing, and that's like try to kill all the final bosses and find yourself pushing a ball up a mountain that never ends. but I'm still enjoying it, so having a good time with that. Otherwise, I was in Germany for a little while where it's hot as shit. It's actually hot everywhere except for where I live.
that's nice if it's going to be like that. Yeah. What were you in Germany for? Was it a Warhammer thing?
Home Strike Cup. It's a StarCraft tournament. It was fun. It's fun, but and this is weird. I hope other people will experience this at some point, so I don't sound like a lunatic. But like, traveling has pretty much ran its course. Like, I enjoy, but I hate. Like, I feel like you don't recharge from traveling. I feel like over time you have like a finite filter of this is how much traveling you can do in your life.
Yeah,
I've hit that point now where my traveling bones are grinding on each other. I got really lucky on the way there. Like the whole back row was empty and that was pretty nice. It was okay. But like first things first, I like flip my iPad open. I'm like, all right, let's watch some movies. And it's just like, it said something like, user denied access, something like that. And I'm like, well, this is my iPad. So that's kind of weird. And that was, no movies. So I read a bunch of books and slept. And then on the way back, nobody next to me. So that was pretty cool. But there was a child behind me. And it was one of those things where like the parents had the Vietnam 100-yard stare, two kids. They had obviously already been through shit. And I think the woman was just holding her kid like a short-range bazooka because he was just pump, 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 pump the back of my seat. And I was, you know, you give him a couple of looks, but I'm not really a confrontational guy. So I just kind of like, after a while, when you give him the looks, I'm not going to like ask a stewardess or yell at him or something like that. So just for the whole flight, I'm just like this, you know.
I find that very surprising that you're not the kind of person that would just get up and turn around and be like, I'm going to destroy you.
If it was a dude, you know, if it's an adult, they'll get a very awkward adult Jeff conversation where I'm like, hey, that's incredibly inappropriate and it's really immature of you to keep doing that and not think of those around you. Are you some kind of fucking nihilist piece of shit? And like, usually, anyways, but if it's a child, not much I can do, so.
I just ask people, I'm like, are you like pressing into my chair? And they always lie to me and go back to doing it. And so it's like, well, that accomplished nothing. Like I thought they'd be embarrassed and stop, but.
I saw some company made like a locking mechanism for the chair in front of you. So you like put it in their like back tray so they can't recline their seats. What kind of awful person do you have to be to invent something like that? Like, no, air travel is already miserable enough. Let's make a device that makes it worse.
That's what amazing. Was it? There was a was it New Zealand Air, and their airplanes were equipped with these, like it was something that folded out from the bottom of your seat, and then it allowed your like the bottom half to kind of shift out without disrupting the person behind you. And I was like, this is like the fucking Korean elevators, man. Like they figured something out, but the rest of the world hasn't caught on yet. And I don't understand. Like, oh, it's a fucking.
I saw on the flip side of that, I saw an article not that long ago. I think it was an older article, but the CEO of Ryanair, that's that like Irish airline, the guy was like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make standing room only airplanes. And they have like. Yeah, they have like little ledges you can lean on. I don't think they ever actually launched the program, but their photos are mock-ups. If you go look at them, they're like they have little like lean-to things. You just kind of like lean on them, and you stand in rows on this airplane.
That's a horrible idea.
I wonder if that would be more comfortable though, because like if you're tall, you know, like my legs always hurt. At least if you're standing.
No, Caitlin. No. The short answer is no. I like you know, nowadays they're like bing, they're like everyone put your seatbelts on, a little bit of turbulence come up. Nobody's like, oh god, they're all like, oh, fucking seatbelt. But on that flight, they're like, Bing! Everyone for themselves! And just like fucking people like flying around and like someone's holding ledge like, it's my ledge, god damn it! They're like kicking people back and shit. Kids are crying. Stewardesses, they just strap themselves to the walls. They don't give a fuck. They're like, yeah. They're like, ching. They're like, good luck, everybody. And like the door opens. Like, backpack, you know, parachuting out of the plane.
Just for clarification.
Yeah, tell us about the Korean elevators. Yes,
Korean elevators. If you've not experienced this, it's in every elevator in Korea. But, you know, you walk in, there's 33 stories, and you hit 10, and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm actually on, you know, floor 25. So you hit fucking 10 again, and it deselects the floor. So no asshole fucking six-year-old is walking in there and lighting everything up. No, because you walk in and you fucking unlight it. Now, we live in a world where fucking drones are tracking all of our movement and, like, you know, like, I mean, we can identify crimes via DNA. But
I'm excited for Mr. Robot Season 2 as well, Marcus. Go ahead.
But for some reason, the rest of the world hasn't figured out that, you know what, this actually is a really fucking good idea. Is there not a fucking elevator convention that the world is going to? And someone's like, hey, motherfuckers, check this shit out. You can deselect floors. Why is everyone – is there money to – am I in the wrong fucking business? I'm questioning everything about life talking about this
one. You should start the company Twatch, and it's this new elevator company that brings high-quality elevators to America, man.
Oh, Switch. Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. I don't get it.
People would call it twat for short. That'd be pretty sick. You guys twatting today? Yeah, we're going to go.
I stopped. Twat. I stopped using that service after all the stuff with the bits. So, elevators. Yeah, I mean, I get you on the travel thing. I think you're right. I think at some point you run out of travel currency, you're going to get off a plane and just turn it to dust and blow away. That'll be it. That'll be the death of Jeff.
Yeah, I probably will. I mean, it's going to be like, my esports mental breakdown is going to happen at an airport. Like, someone's just going to be like, because there's been a couple brushes with it where like the most unjust, you know, I've lived a very privileged, I don't have a lot of bad luck. Like, my bad stories are like my parents' divorce. Like, people've got worse shit that happened to them. But for me, it's like there's been like the husky breath of bad luck on my neck a couple times where you're like at an airport and they're like, you know, you bought your ticket 2 months in advance and they're like, you know, we're looking for volunteers to stay behind. We oversold the flight. And they just kind of say that. But if you fucking think about it for a second, think about the concept of what they're saying. That what they're saying is they have a product. They purposely oversell it because they're greedy motherfuckers. And what that means is you are planning on going somewhere. And then they tap you on the shoulder and go, no. Why? Your ticket didn't exist. I'm like, well, I gave you real money for it. And they're like, yeah, you did. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. There's like a flight tomorrow you can take. And you're like, right. I have two connections. They're like, get fucked. That's just the world. That's the world we live in where that can happen. And, you know, on the way back from an international trip, especially Home Story Cup, where I'm casting 14-hour days in 100-degree weather surrounded by people, some of which are guys who are like, hey, do you mind signing that autograph as Fat Matt Damon? And then I have to look at them and be like, well, my career dictates that I don't tear your head off right now, but what I want to do is piss on your head. But I, you know, and
that some shit still happens. Oh, my God, dude.
It's so rare, but it's so, and it's bad too. Cause there was a time there was like super PC mega kind esports celebrity in control where like someone would be like, hey, Control, I beat you on ladder and you're a douchebag. And then I'd be like, all right, young man, you have a great day. Thanks for your support. Now old curmudgeon-y esports in control. Like, survived the StarCraft II Holocaust, kind of, but, you know, like every man for himself kind of thing. Like, this guy says this to me, and I looked at him, and there's the clocks in my, you know, in my head. I'm like, nope, now's not the time, Jeff. You still have
Now you know how every day of my life in that community was like at that point. Yeah, there you go.
I'm getting it. I'm getting this perspective that's happening here. But yeah, I just kind of looked at him and was like, no. And then I sat there, and of course what happens to me is I have the lecture in my head about like what I should have said to him. And none of it's like I explode and yell him. It's all just like, that's incredibly inappropriate. And it's like, really, what response did you expect? And like, You think you're all that and then some, you fucking asshole? You think you're better than me? It's like, no. Anyways, enough about that. So, yeah, travel sucks. Went and saw Independence Day 2. I'm going to make a video about it because I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. I saw you tweet about that.
You went to where?
Independence Day 2.
Oh, right.
Quick and dirty because I know we're starting late and I don't want to take up all the time. But, like, if you like Independence Day 1, it has a lot of the cool factor. The Alien Queen is awesome, and it's actually done really well. The CGI and animatronics, I presume they used in some scenes, although not enough, was a pretty good thing. But I'm going to make a video talking about the movie, but also I want to just kind of rant a little bit about this day and age of, like, remakes and sequels that are just complete, absolute
shit.
Like, oh, they're shit, but they're also, like, rehashing everything. Like, this was exactly the first one from the beginning to the end. The jokes from the same characters, the plot from the same characters, the concept, but it was just done worse. It was done less inspired. Like, the alien ship shows up and, you know, half the movie is the fucking ship crashing into Earth, which is exactly, you know, the entire first half of the Independence Day 1 as well, only it's smaller, so it's just, but
was any of it ironic? Like a throwback? Oh, or was it just straight rip?
Straight rip. Wow. they resurrect several characters who, like, at the end of the first one should be down and out, but they're just, like, back. And they're
exactly, man, everything you're saying, Jeff, is, like, the reason why Jurassic World was so great.
So have you guys seen, have you seen any of the posters for Independence Day, like, around your town? Because I know, like, Jeff, you and we are in the same place. So you guys get, I assume, posters that are like a spaceship crashing into, like, the Golden Gate Bridge, right? Is that
yeah.
the advertising? Okay. So I'm walking around downtown Vancouver and I see an ad for it and it's like, you know, look out, Canada, Independence Day, and it's got a spaceship crashing into the CN Tower. And I'm like, the fuck? Who cares about the CN Tower? Why does anyone care about that? But then I realized that's because we have no monuments in Canada. There is nothing to crash into or destroy here.
I believe they left you guys alone.
Yeah. Well, and also we got that thing where advertising agencies think that Canada is one city. By putting that ad up in Vancouver, most people are going to be like, yeah, I don't recognize that landmark at all. It's from a place that is not here. We would be okay if Toronto got blown up by spaceships, I think.
It's funny living outside of San Francisco because almost every movie, the disaster does take place in San Francisco. Almost,
dude. San Andreas is the best. I'm sorry, like, for as fucking dumb as that movie is, the fucking massive tsunami that comes is just, like, one of my favorite San Francisco destruction scenes ever. It's so fucking great, and it has The Rock trying to outrun a fucking giant wave in a boat, which is.
No, I mean, all the movie was to pass the second. Jesus Christ! Like, there's some roles The Rock can really pull off. I actually like The Rock, but him hopping out of that helicopter, where basically it looks comical, just in general, like him being like, "Damn, it's right behind us!" And he, like, gets out of the helicopter, he's like, "Get inside, please. I'll save you." And it's like, "There's no room in that fucking helicopter, Rock. You take up the entire thing."
I love it. I want to say Independence Day 2 is the first movie in years I've talked myself out of. Like, we were totally going to go see it, and then we even watched Independence Day the night before.
Oh, wow.
Sort of like, yeah, I don't think we're going to go. And I was like, family, do you object? And they were like, you know, so.
It's not that bad.
So here's the question. Did you buy tickets in advance and then decide not to go? Or was this
No, we buy tickets. Okay. We're going.
I was trying to judge the seriousness of that decision.
Yeah, you buy tickets. You're sitting through the whole goddamn movie. I don't care how bad it is.
Well, so to that end, do you, like, have you ever walked out of a movie before? Have you ever just, like, hated
it? I've never walked out. I cannot understand the concept of walking out of a movie. I was like, I don't know, like, the way I was raised, a Nebraska thing, but, like, I just can't even.
Where I'm from, we sit through our terrible media.
I can't, yeah, I don't
know.
You're
eat your whole dinner, and you're going
to,
you know, like
it. I mean, dude, actually going to movies in Nebraska, like, we used to like, very often go to day, you know, showings, and it would be really strange when, like, a older couple would walk into a movie that, like, you totally wouldn't expect that they'd be at, and just be like, you know, then they get up and they leave, and I say to myself, at least they got a senior citizens discount, and they're like I just don't understand.
I agree. The best walk I've ever seen, though, I did see a movie with my friend in college. I went and saw The Mist, or yeah, it's called The Mist, I think.
Yeah, The Mist.
Mm-hmm. If anyone knows that movie, don't have it spoiled for you. No, don't. Nobody needs to say it. The end of that movie is the biggest kick in the balls of the movie.
It's so good.
My friend, it was like, it's a good movie, by the way, too. It's actually a really solid movie, but the end of it is just just punch in the dick, just one. My friend, he like literally did the Seinfeld, like, oh, all right, and just like out the second it happened. And it's the final moments of the movie. Again, I'm gonna spoil it. If you haven't seen it, you should. But man, he just was like, nope, done. Walked out, and he's in the lobby, and I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, that pisses me off. He's like, that's the worst fucking. He's like, I don't need that in my life. I don't need to think about that. It's the worst. And I was like, all right, I can ask you if you.
I feel like a bad person because I laughed really hard at the end of that movie. Not because I thought it was bad. I thought the ending was funny because I was just like, oh, yeah, they did that. That was great. And I was the only one in the theater just laughing my ass off.
I almost helped yell at a movie once. I saw that like Spring Break movie with Selena Gomez and like, I don't know, some other girl was in it. And it's like, it's not a good movie.
Is it Spring? Are you talking about Spring Breakers?
Yeah.
The one by the guy that did Kids.
Oh, right.
It's
got Selena Gomez in it.
Yeah. And like Vanessa Hudgens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the end, this guy was like, what the fuck? Like, that's what he yelled at the very end. And someone else was like, what was that? And then I was like riled up, you know? And I was like, yeah, what was that? That's the only time.
I want to, my one movie mistake that I can't make it a second time, but I was dating a girl in high school and she was like, I do not want to go see scary movies at all. Like, she's just not interested at all.
I mean,
so I'm like, you know, as a boyfriend, I'm like, well, let me test the limits here a little bit. Right. Like, maybe we can like find a thrill or whatnot. So I'm like, okay, let's go see a movie. Okay, choose. And I thought that maybe In the Mouth of Madness, like, you know, would probably be more thriller than it was totally fucking mindfuck. And yeah, well, needless to say, it was like one of the worst dating decisions I ever made in my entire life.
Did it actually break up the relationship, though?
It didn't, but, you know, like, I feel like it allowed her to establish dominance in the relationship because, you know, like, I'm going to have nightmares for three. And you know what? Like, In the Mouth of Madness is, in my opinion, one of the fucking freakiest movies. If you're just looking for, like, crazy psychological horror, it's fucking out of this world. So, yeah, it. I think there were emotional scars, and she used those scars against me.
Did she watch it all?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know what? Nebraskans don't fucking get out.
That's right.
They paint the movie. You're going to watch it.
My dad told the story of it. He took a girl on a date to go see Aliens, and he knew it was a scary movie, obviously. I think it was even the second time he was seeing it. And he said, do you want popcorn? I was like, sure. And she's like, in that scene where the alien's up in the chains and the cast is kind of like looking up at the chains. Like, back then, it was one of the scariest scenes you could see. So my dad timed it where he came behind her and like scared her on her shoulders or whatever. She actually screamed and then got up, walked out, and you never saw her again.
Like, oh my god!
How the story goes.
Oh my god!
It's fair. Yeah. It's fair. I hope that they both went back and finished that movie at some point because it's amazing.
It was in Nebraska. Yeah, my dad saw it a few times. But maybe she never did.
I guess we'll never know. Sad times. Yep. Yeah, that's a thing, I think. And I we've talked about this before on pre-Swan Song stuff, where this is the kind of story that if people stop going to the theater to see movies, it will just go away. It'll just vanish. Yeah. So
I love going to movies, man. I can't see
myself. I do too. Not doing it. I can't wait till I can get that senior citizen discount, man. I'm gonna fucking see all the movies.
So we're
maybe
talking
then I'll start walking
a couple
out.
Of months. When's your birthday?
I mean, a few months, you know. We got a while. I already had a birthday this year, so you got to wait a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, when TwitchCon 2018 rolls around, we'll go see a movie. You can give me a new senior citizen. Yeah. We told everybody. That's the joke.
There
we
go. That's the joke.
Yes, you've never heard that joke before.
Can I use that as a segue? Can I use old as a segue?
Old people love segues. Hit it.
Yeah, totally. And this one's good because I was old enough to be able to talk about the experience of downloading the original Doom off of a BBS and it actually taking me 2.5 hours to do, despite the fact that it was like literally 5.2 megabytes.
I'm also old enough for that analogy to stick.
Yeah, yeah. You're geeking about Doom. Yeah.
I have to say, holy fucking shit, did they make an amazing fucking game. And suddenly, I was all like negative Nancy about their Quake announcement at E3, but after playing Doom, and like, mind you, the multiplayer I haven't touched, but all I've heard is like, it's kind of shit, but who cares? The single player is fucking amazing. It's actually just hey, do you want to fucking kill crazy satanic demons and shit, and they almost play into the fact of, you know, in the world of single player games, I like fight some stuff and then I have like a cutscene where a lot of talking happens and like these big elaborate things happen. The game is self-aware to the point where it's like it makes fun of other games where there is a individual who is trying to accompany you on the mission, you know, that guy over the fucking intercom. Mm. And your guy is basically just like, fuck this guy. Like everything that he tells you to do, your actions do the exact opposite. And like, he'll want to give you this big long monologue and he'll just like fucking smash the monitor and shit. And I'm like, I like this. I almost wish I could play Doom where it was just like, here's a fucking room and here's 10,000 demons and now you got a key and it opens up another room and there's 50,000 demons and you just fucking kill them all. And I hope this isn't reflecting on me personally or anything. It's just such a well done Doom experience. It's amazing. It's incredible.
Nice. So that's why I wasn't mad. Anytime I died, like if I had to do a room like 10 times in a row, I wasn't even mad. So it's like, right. I love this. It doesn't matter.
I got to the point where I would be like, I would get hit by like a fucking zombie and be like, oh, nope, not good enough. Nope, we got it. We can't let fucking that guy get the best of us. Like we control the carnage here.
As that game, like that game came out, and then a couple months later, Disney or Pixar, whoever, is coming out with a giant movie called BFG, and I was like,
"Big Friendly Giant."
There's a bunch of people that do not think it's Big Friendly Giant.
they're like, "Oh, they're making another Doom."
Oh. It's like really, if you watch the
favorite Roald Dahl book,
Grandpa Giant, you're like, wow, we're in trouble, young blood.
Have you read the BFG?
Yeah, big fucking guy.
No,
dude. Honestly, you would probably laugh your ass off. I mean, let's talk real talk. Roald Dahl is like amazing, and BFG is in my opinion his best book ever. They're probably gonna fuck up the movie. Like even today, this 200-page classic.
I did read it back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, good shit.
Yeah. Well, go see the BFG, and then you can come back and talk about it, and we'll see if we can tie Doom into that discussion in some way. Yeah.
So maybe it'll be great.
Maybe there'll be an Easter egg. Yeah, you, Kaylin, you played. Did you finish Doom?
Yeah, I finished.
Did you ever play the original, like the old one?
No, I never did. I thought about going back and playing them, but I mean, they're not. But they don't look like real games. Like, you know how you could buy when you were young? You buy those little like $20 handheld games, and it's just like pixels. I got a Lion King one. I don't know, and some other ones.
You say it looks like a tiger handheld?
Yeah, nice. Tiger handheld. Yeah. Yeah, nice. So I was like, I don't know. I don't know. But I was going to play Wolfenstein, though, but then I didn't get around to it. But I beat it on...
I'm sorry, what? What's the name of the game you're going to play?
Stein? I can't.
Wolfenstein is the name of a castle. Wolfenstein is the name of a law firm.
when there's two vowels together, you probably noticed this, that I like cannot pronounce
anything
like ever.
Nope,
and I changed my pronouncing. I used to say like dragon all the time, and people were like, Neil says that too. Neil says dragon. And I was like,
my friend just introduced your new board game called Monopoly. It's this money game to check out, but it looks like its graphics are pretty bad.
Well, Jeff, the irony of that is that technically Monopoly is the correct way to pronounce it because it's the word mono and poly meaning multiple of one. Anyway, Wolfenstein. The Wolfenstein remake was really good. But I have Doom, but I haven't played it. I think I'm avoiding it for that very reason that we talked about, is that I loved it so much as a kid. Like, Doom 2 was my jam. And I don't want to go back and hate it, but the
you wouldn't. The books, are you kidding?
I know, but that's the thing. Like,
but you wouldn't.
I have read the books.
I know. So have I. They're funny.
You know, the comic, the books, the whole Doom universe.
The first Warhammer novel is Doom. Just like, it's just guys running around shooting things forever.
Adam, I rarely replay games anymore because there's just always so many games.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying I replayed Doom yet, but I was really planning on it. Like, I was gonna redo it in nightmare mode. So. Nice. I don't think you would ruin anything for you.
Have you checked out Merrick art, by the way?
The witch name?
Merrick art.
My, what is that?
Trying to organize the vowels. Here we go.
I can't do it. Now I get it.
So those delayed blast humors. It took a
little. I actually really like the idea of being called Wolfenstein, though. Like, that sounds like a bank simulator. But when you find out it's actually a guy shooting Nazis forever, it's like, so.
Dude, you know what, Jeff? There will actually be a time where, like, in 30 years, game developers, like, old franchises will die, and someone will be like, oh, I've got this great idea, and we are going to call it Wolfenstein. About a man who will go and fight the Nazis, who have experiments.
It's the exciting story of Hiram Wolfenstein, attorney at law.
And so it'll be like, yeah.
Go around subpoenaing people. It's
great idea.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That was actually a pretty decent remake, by the way. The new
Wolfenstein. Yeah.
God damn it.
I know. Now you get it.
Yeah. I didn't know what order to play them in. That's why I didn't start it. I think you could just play the new one.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't. It is mega
pixel. You're not wrong about that. Yeah. It's a super old game. It's like 91 or 2 or maybe, right? Like, isn't it that old?
Which one?
The original Wolfenstein?
It's old as hell.
93, yeah. I think.
93. Like, that's fucking old.
Yeah.
And I have good memories of it, but I definitely can see what Caitlin's saying about a few of these things. Like, I did that nostalgia. I did the Jedi Outcast or whatever. Jesus. Some parts of these games do live up to, like, oh, I remember this. This is so great. Then other parts, it's just like, no, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. I had that experience with Brood War, and I Brood War is like a religious experience for me. It's like why I'm here. But
why am I playing Zerg again?
Well, no, I mean, like, once you go to StarCraft II and after, like, all the things they do for you and refined and just how much more seamless and modern the gaming experience is, Brood War, it's like, guys, go over here. And then you got to hide in a wall, like, and you're like, no, go over here. It's like, I don't understand. And you're like, wow, this is stupid.
The mining is what triggers me in Brood War. Because you can't, like, stack your guys anymore. It's just like everything. Everything goes everywhere.
Yeah.
There you go. Cool. You guys want to play some Swan Song Stories?
Yeah, you got 10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes? All right, let's do it. Thanks for coming, everybody. Good show. Cool. All right. Well, I think when we last left off, there were some ninja. It was a ninja situation.
Yeah. Can we recap?
Yeah.
Since an explosion at bingo.
Yeah. The opening scene of the episode is the tower, right? It's the telecom tower, and the rain, right? So it's like early morning, kind of steely, like grayish light. There isn't a lot of color. Everything's cast in this sort of like cement gray. And we see the building with all these antennas up top. And the camera probably follows, like, goes straight through the main doors, past like the puddle of blood that's starting to like dissipate in the rain, and like a drag mark of a body. And then just outside, because you had like pulled her to safety, is Mr. Sicarian, right? You're behind cover, and you have the bleeding out body of the corporal who defected and wanted to come to safety with you.
Just because I keep fucking up her name, it's Hope.
Her first name is
Hanako.
Yeah, Hanako is
her first name.
Hanako.
Yeah, Hanako. And then, yeah, Mario is her last name. So she was shot by a sniper. And the camera passed over the two of you into the entrance of the building where Fugazi and his now impaled friend El Tigre are standing. So we have the sort of flickering effect of the camouflage field of this one ninja turning off as he like shoves his sword into your friend from behind. And Mr. Lost, how are you doing on hit points? You're like doing okay? Are you how's that looking?
Let me take a check over here. I'm just gonna load it up. I have 6 hit points.
Okay, that's not so bad. It's more than 0. You're doing okay. All right. So you've been shot. You're hit by a sniper on your way in. And now we get the group of you kind of in the room, and there's the ninja. So prior to all this, if we want a quick recap, there was bingo. Bingo day didn't go very well. It was a tragedy for some. But you managed to escape the prison. And so far, evade capture with your new friend. I think we left the prison in a sort of state of riot, right? Like the prisoners had taken over and were seizing the place. And the reason you came to this building in the first place, this tower, was that there's some old telecoms equipment that you can use to get in touch with Fotenhauer High Command, with the ship in orbit, and they can hopefully send somebody in. To come and get you. So, first things first, though, these ninja. I guess probably we see Fugazi. Like Fugazi, you'll be the first one able to act, right? Because y'all were running inside, and then dude ran into the business end of a sword. What do you do?
Actually inside the building.
Yeah, like just like as you're coming in. Yeah. Okay.
I don't go in. What's the order of just me and him?
Yeah, I think the last thing that had happened was the four of you, because Sakarian had stayed behind a little bit to get Hanako to safety. So you, PK,
that's right, PK,
Lost, and El Tigre all ran inside, and then El Tigre was attacked because he was lagging a bit behind, and so as soon as you came in, he got ambushed.
So the ninja was behind us is what I'm trying to.
Yeah, like the ninja kind of emerged from the shadow. They've been difficult to pin down so far, right? You've got a general idea of where there's at least 3 of them.
Does us entering this building allow me to shut the door when everyone's in except for El Tigre, who is dead on that man's sword?
I mean, El Tigre, we don't know if he's like dead. He's just been stabbed. He's been impaled. And I think that he like slides off the guy's sword onto the ground. Maybe if you were to check him, you could find out if he was actually alive or dead. But there's like blood dripping off of this guy's monoblade.
I mean, it seems dead.
He seems dead.
Don't we have like an immediate threat with this ninja? Obviously, like, is this a police?
The ninja isn't doing anything else. He's just like stabbed El Tigre, who's like falling on the ground. He like flicked the blood off his sword, and he's just standing there. And you can't see anything. Like the ninja are essentially like they're wearing like camo like body suits. And
so I see like a shimmer.
Yeah, I mean you can see them. Like his suit is off, but he's still wearing like black and gray urban kind of camo painted metallic. Like he's definitely a cyborg. Like his legs bend in a funny way, and he doesn't have like a normal number of human feet.
Is this something I think that the prison would have?
I mean, you never saw anything like this at the prison, no.
Well, I guess I don't make any immediate moves, but just kind of like hands up, kind of maybe trying to step back into the building.
Mm-hmm.
Mara only told me about the ninjas. So.
Yeah, she told you about these like boogeymen that she was sure would get sent after you.
Okay. I don't clarify.
Sure. Yeah. What do you do? You've been shot, so you're like a little stunned. But yeah, you're like right in behind. PK is like holding her gun, and like she like brings it up to point it at the.
I put it down. I'm like, okay. PK down.
she growls.
I even say like, if this thing wanted us dead, I'm sure we would already be dead. And then with, you know, my hands kind of back up after putting the gun down, it's like, I'm just gonna attend to my friend here, like backing off into the building.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, he's standing, the body is on the floor at his feet and he's looking over it at you. And you see, he's got like, this big lens kind of in the front of his helmet or in his head. It's hard to tell. And it like flips, and like changes lenses. And, he just watches you, as you approach and doesn't do anything. He's still got his sword out, but you're like, you have to come towards him to get to El Tigre.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Mr. Lost. I didn't mean.
Okay, yeah. You want to back away from El Tigre? Okay, so he just watches you.
Sorry, El Tigre. I got your secrets. It's all good. It's a game, you know.
So, so outside, Sicarian, you're behind cover.
I was running towards.
Are you carrying? You're carrying her, or do you like? Where do you want to be? Because you got to her. Was the plan to take her inside, or
grab her and run back inside with the rest?
Okay, all right. So she's unconscious. So you pick her up, and you start heading towards the building. And I think that you see between you and you can kind of see through this like blurry like form to where the building is, to where Fugazi and Lost are.
I vaguely think you can between us.
Yeah, you can see there's something between you and the building, and you can see like on the ground the puddle that it's kind of like standing in, and there's like water displacing around the bottom of its feet.
Would I get the impression it's just standing there looking at me?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just standing watching you to see what you do, and also like getting it's in the way, right? So it's not, it's like blocking the door.
I'm trying to think. I mean. What would Sicarian shot me through my chest, shot Mr. Lost, shot her. I don't know what's going on inside there, I guess. I think he would just, if you're going to allow it, I would raise up my plasma projector and just shoot a volley and then try to run, like, with the intention of killing or displacing, but I'm getting inside of the rest of my squad is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, you can take a shot at him. So you've got... Like Mario's unconscious, so if you want to carry her, it does take both hands. But you could like put her down, or
no, I'm not putting her down. I guess if the plasma projector is something I could not shoot, then I would just use my sidearm or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, you could fire at it with your laser pistol, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and do that. So the armor class bonus, with the fact that this one's still in sort of semi invisibility mode. It's got an AC of 2.
Okay. And just again, thematically for everyone, it's like I'm not stopping and firing. I'm going to like do everything I can to just shoot at it, try to get it out of the way and run inside with the rest. Like it's a panic situation. I believe the other one's still sniping at us type of thing. Do pistols have fully semi-automatic mode or whatever?
Laser pistol doesn't, but it does have the innate plus one of being an energy weapon.
Okay, so then I'm at a plus 8. All right.
Okay. Oh. Okay. So you come towards it, you get your pistol out as you're kind of like carrying Mario, and you fire at him, and it lances towards the thing, and we see the sudden bright flash of the laser weapon, and the ninja, it doesn't move or like dodge away. It just kind of like slides. We see the spray of the water as it like slides to the side, and your the beam of your laser pistol hits the wall of the building. But you follow the shot and make it to the door. It doesn't like run to stop you or anything.
But it's near me, I guess. It just slides.
As you run by, like it slides to dodge the shot. And then you run past it, but it doesn't like jump on you or attack you or anything.
Interesting. I would just shoulder through the door if it's open or whatever, just barge in and then.
Mm-hmm. It's where we are, right?
Yeah.
Try to slam the door shut. And then I would back away from the door looking. I mean, when I say back away from the door, I mean, I'm looking at the door, backing up, pistol out, breathing hard.
Mm-hmm.
And like calling to the group, like, you know.
Yeah, and I think we see we see Stikarion's entrance from the sort of predator vision of the ninja. So we see it's looking at in like heat form. So we can see Lost and Fugazi and the like swiftly cooling body on the floor of El Tigre. And we can see like a little heartbeat meter for each of the people that it's looking at. And we can see Mario's heartbeat is kind of like weak. But it just, yeah, it just stands there, the sword out watching.
Okay, I guess I turn and see this one just standing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm a little bit intimidated by the fact that the other one just neoed my shots.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of look at it and not raise my gun or anything like that, but I'm just... I'm with my back to the door, but not up against the door. But I'm like, what in the fuck is going on?
I maybe then at that point, like I speak up on two fronts. I say that thing didn't fuck with us either. And what's up with this person you just brought?
What do you mean didn't fuck with us? It's El Tigre is dead at its feet.
Well, that's El Tigre, but I mean us as a collective. He was not hostile towards us.
I'm like kind of staggering. I stand up a bit straighter while I'm just grabbing where I was shot. And I look at the, I don't remember where it was, just grab anywhere. And I look at the one that's standing over El Tigre's body and I say, you're here for her?
Yeah, who has her, there's a katana that somebody brought with them. Do you have it lost?
That was Tigre.
Tigre, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So I think that while you're speaking, there's like a faint kind of mechanical whine as the thing kneels down to pick up the katana next to El Tigre. Like it pulls it from his
hand.
And it like sheaths it in a sheath behind it. And then you say that lost. You're like, you're for her. And it takes a step forward. Let's look at it. Sort of, it takes a step forward towards Sikarian and the body, or and the he thinks it's a body, or it will be soon. Maru in his arms.
I say to it then that I want to say goodbye to her first, and then I start walking towards her.
Okay. So it just kind of watches. It stands, doesn't respond, but doesn't move any further forward.
Okay, so Mara's still in Mr. Sakarian's hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's kind of like, she's alive, she's stable, but she's, like if you jostle her too badly, she'll start to bleed out and die.
Okay, so I just walk over and I kind of brush the side of her face with my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing this motion to my ring on the other side and I kind of pop it open.
Mm-hmm.
And try and pop the contents of it into her mouth. And then I like touch her lips.
Do I know what that is?
Her hair.
So I think that when we see this, we get this like this close sort of close up of Mr. Lost leaning in and like doing that, turning the ring around. I think we get a fade to we snap back to like the hallway of a ship, maybe you're like it's a Fotenhauer like facility. And this is like pre-mission, right? And we see Fugazi and Lost just like standing in the hallway talking. Mr. Lost, what are you asking Mr. Fugazi for? What do we cut in on that conversation?
I guess I'm like, Mr. Fugazi, I'm new to this. I can't die just yet. I mean, maybe I could die to get out of a situation, but it's got to look like I really died, you know? You know what I mean?
I like to imagine that's the exact face that Weed's character makes at you, too. That, like, what the fuck?
Come again?
I need like a get-out-of-jail card. If something bad happens to me, you know, just like one more option, because I don't want to die yet.
You need a circuit breaker. You need something that'll just.
Yeah, but then like.
Like, you know, it just, you're done.
Yeah, but then you're not done.
But you want to act like you're dead.
Yeah.
But then not be dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we could make something. Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, you know, basically a heavy sedative that's time release over a certain amount of time, make you appear as if you don't have a pulse, and then you come back without any assistance. Of course, I can't always gauge how long one individual is out, but we could cook something up.
That would help me out a lot. And it's got to fit in this ring.
Oh, that's easy too. I mean, it'll pout it.
Sorry, flop. which ring was that again, Kaylin? Which one?
This one.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So what is Mr.
Watson? I don't know, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that you were in.
I think that, conversation. Yeah, I think I would have kept it from you because it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of like a weak thing to do. Sure. You know, that I'm like actually kind of afraid of battle.
Whereas, like, I think it totally makes sense. Okay.
I think this just continues to be very surreal for Sakaarin, then, as you're like stroking her face, feeding her something from your ring. He's just like, what?
I don't think we'll find out if you notice it. We'll do a little, sleight of hand, but let's see how effective Mr. Fugazi's chemistry lessons were.
Okay.
You want to make a tech medicine roll?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Here it comes. 9.
All right.
I make good drugs.
Okay. So let's see if it. Let's see if it'll fool the sensors of the cyborg here. Oh yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. And then let me get a. I need a roll from you, Mr. Lost, to like see if you can do this without anybody noticing. Can you make a whatever the equivalent of like sleight of hand would be? I guess just like a dexterity. I make a stealth roll. It's similar protocol. Yeah, just make a stealth roll.
And that's dex, right?
Yeah, and you have a +1 to your stealth. Yeah. So you should be fine. How'd you do? Ooh, okay. All right. So yeah, you did it. But I think what that means is that neither Mr. Sakaarin notices or the ninja. So Sakaarin, you just see Lost come over and kind of like, what's the look on your face, Lost, when you do this? Are you like sad or like?
Well, I'm very sad and very anxious, but a lot of it's because, I mean, if this doesn't work, then she will die and worse could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really trying to play off being afraid.
Yeah. Okay. So Lost comes over looking like distraught, and then there's a tender moment of like face caressing. Hanako, I think you feel her, she doesn't have like a seizure or anything, but you can feel her like kind of sort of going limp. Like her eyes flutter a little bit. And then in the like the ninja vision, we see her little like heartbeat meter start to slow. And then flatline.
I think I'm looking past Fugazi, Mr. Lost as he's doing this. And then as through like my shoulder, I can kind of feel Maru, you know, slip.
Yeah, her hand like slips off of your shoulder. Yeah, and
I stop looking at the ninja, and I'm just like, it's like the most unraveled you've ever seen Sakaarin. Like he's just like he like sees her, like he like dips her forward to check her, and he's like tapping her throat, and like he loses all, he's just not care. The ninja could come over and just cut his head off. He doesn't even fucking care. He puts her down. He's like, he immediately starts to try to resuscitate her.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think that we see you because you're like on your knees and she's laying on the ground. And so we see the ninja's legs walking like through the sort of rubble towards you, and then it crouches down next to you, and reaches out and puts one of its fingers like on her neck, and there's a pause, and then it takes its hand away and then stands up as though it's like it's satisfied, looks down at her, sheaths its sword beside the other one, and then takes a step backwards and starts to sort of like flicker and disappear.
Puts his sword where?
Back, just next to the other one.
Two swords.
Yeah.
I think it's a very weird scene because I think Zakarian completely ignores him and is just like trying to resuscitate her, and he's just like mumbling no, no. He's like really fucking mad and upset.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I think that's what we see the door kind of like open, like swing open a little bit. There's a bit of wind from outside, and then the door clicks shut as we see this scene, kind of the dust in the air, El Tigre's body on the floor in a pool of blood, and the image of Sicarian kneeling over this dead woman. And let's take our first break there.
Dun dun dun.
Cool. All right, we got more Swan Song stories after this, so stick around.